This is River of Life Assembly of God in Cold Spring, Minnesota.
This morning we are starting up a brand new series called What is Your Story? What's Your Story? And I always love the premise of that phrase because, you know, I think deep down all of us, well, we do have a story, whether you know it or not. You have a story. And I think all of us, you know, we all experience from moment to moment, from season to season, seasons of joy, of pain, of hurt, of laughter, sadness, love and stress, all the above, that we all experience these things. So before we get started, let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much. I thank you for the amazing God that you are. God, I thank you that we get to be at a place like this just to be able to learn about you and just to worship you this morning. God, I pray that the words that come out of my mouth, may they not be from myself, but God, may they be from you. May you open up our hearts and give us ears to hear. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, the message today entitled it, Keep Calm and Carry On. Keep Calm and Carry On. And I love studying history because I think when I grew up in grade school, junior high, and high school, I failed all of it. And so now I'm kind of playing catch up. I'm just learning that the Civil War took place. And, you know, I'm learning about like the 13 colonies and all that stuff. I'm like, it's a really great history. And I also failed geography, and that's why I have to travel a lot, so I get to learn where all the shapes and all the continents are. It's really a great history lesson for me. Anyway, this phrase, keep calm and carry on, actually originated in 1939 from Great Britain. They were in the middle of beginning World War II, and as Germany was beginning to take over a lot of Europe and take over areas of Poland, the British government started to develop some propaganda to really just inspire the people of Great Britain. And so they came out with three posters just to kind of spread out to the land. The first one said this, your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. And so all over London and all over the UK, they would put these posters up and they would remind people that we need to come together, that we need to unify, and that we need to grow together because we're under attack. The second one they came out with was, freedom is in peril. Defend it with all of your might. And again, it was a reminder as people would go onto Main Street or they go onto a bus stop or they go to a train station that we as a country need to come together and unify. And lastly, the third one that they came out with was keep calm and carry on. Keep calm and carry on. The really interesting piece is history will say that they were only going to use this in case Germany came to invade Great Britain and started to occupy them. And so they actually never really used this poster. And so they had tens of thousands of these posters in storages all across Great Britain, ready at any moment that if Great Britain were to be occupied by Nazi Germany, that they would put these posters all over the place and just remind people, keep calm and carry on. The really interesting piece is these posters were completely destroyed and burned up like after the war was over. And it wasn't until about 60 years later that these posters, some of these posters were found inside of a bookstore. And this bookstore owner by the name of Barter Books stumbled across a series of copies and realized exactly what they were. And so they became a relic, this phrase, keep calm and carry on. And it's a phrase that many of us probably know. Maybe we've seen it inside of a house when we walk in. Or maybe we see it in a nice little throw pillow or someone stitched it and made a sweater out of it or something like that. And it's been marketed to death. Where there's other phrases where they like to change it and say, keep calm and buy a cupcake. Or other ones, keep calm and buy a cat. I think there's some cruel irony in that one. If you didn't catch that one. My wife this week said, we should get a cat. I'm like, are you my wife? What? Where'd this come from? I tell you what, you learn more every day. It is interesting that even though so many of us don't know the history of this saying, that we find this little saying so reassuring. And why is that? Because we live in a world of stress, of conflict, of hurt and struggle. And sometimes it's nice to be able to come home and see this phrase on a throw pillow. Question I want to ask you today is, have you ever met somebody with just consistent faith? That they were just consistently stable no matter what the situation was. Like almost like a bulletproof faith. Have you ever met someone like that? I have. You know, one of my relatives, my wife's grandmother, Mildred Gar, she is 98-year-old woman. And she is sharp as a tack. She is unbelievable sharp. And her faith is just unbelievable that no matter what she goes through, I just see this unbelievable faith that just resonates out of her. And sometimes you're around people like that. You know, this lady's like 5 foot tall and like, you know, she weighs like 100 pounds. But she is such an amazing woman of God. And when you're going through your normal life and you're stressing, you're around people like that, you almost just want to grab them and shake them and say, will you freak out just a little bit for me? Can I allow my stress level just to contaminate you? I mean, this lady is just unbelievable. You know, to give you an example, I woke up this morning and I was making my son breakfast and there was no Fruit Loops. And him and I just freaked out. I mean, we just freaked out. Where are the Fruit Loops? And there was no bananas. And I'm like, I'm sorry, Mom, forgot to buy you bananas today. But again, this little lady, she could be going through World War III and say, no, God has it all under control. And there's conviction in her voice as she says it. There could be a great illness and says, no, God is my great healer. He is my great physician. There could be a financial situation and she would say, you know what? God has it all under control. The Bible says he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got you covered. Some type of looming circumstances comes your way. Don't worry. God has a solution and he's working it out. You know, it's kind of like growing up with Mr. Rogers. I loved Mr. Rogers. That was a great show growing up. I should have probably studied more like on my history, but I watched Mr. Rogers. But Mr. Rogers, he would have like this demeanor about him. He'd put on his sneakers and he'd get his nice little sweater vest that someone made for him, a little sweater coat. Then he'd go feed his fish. And you're just like, everything's okay. You know? Because after he would do that, you're just like, my life is so great. If Mr. Rogers' life is great. But you're around people like this, and no matter what, their faith stands. I've met people with unshaken faith, and this is what I believe. That God wants us to be that way. That God wants us to be people like that, people of faith. We need to hear this message today because so many of us, we tend to kind of freak out. And when we freak out, we move out of the realm of faith and into fear. And as we freak out, we're maybe unsure that maybe God doesn't have it all under control. If God's kingdom has one currency, it's faith. It's faith. So what is my story? A month ago, I came back from the country of Laos. I'll just tell you, we all came back, all right? And I run this program called Master's Commission, and I brought 7 students with me. And I told the team, this is going to be a hard trip. As a year ago, when we were getting ready, I'm like, this is going to be a very difficult trip. This is not for the faint of heart. It's going to be very different. We're not going to be speaking to like the thousands. We're just going to go there, and we're going to go and just love God and love people. We're going to go there, and we're going to bring dark to light places. That I use this phrase, you know, we're calling this thing, be the one. A lot of times when I'm getting ready for a missions trip, we pray a lot of times, God, get me ready for that one person that I'm supposed to reach out to. And I have that philosophy, whether I'm here in Cold Spring or I'm 10,000 miles away, who is that one person that God is in my heart to pray for and to be around? Be in the one, praying for the one. Because that's how God sees us. He doesn't see us as a huge group. He sees us individually. So preparation to get ready for this trip was really simple. You know, normally we're doing human videos and we're getting ready to do messages and we're doing like children's ministry and puppets. This one, a little bit easier. We had 2 things to get ready for Laos. I told the team, you're going to pray like you never prayed before. And number 2, you're going to work out like you never worked out before. And so we would do runs. We'd go inside the youth building and we'd do figure eights in the youth building. And then we put weights on them. And we did all these crazy things to get us prepped and get us ready. Because I would tell you, this country is very hot. It is a very thick, mountainous, rocky jungle. And you know, as I'm in the country of Laos, again, it's right by the country of Vietnam, I realized why that when we did the war in Vietnam, why we struggled so much. And it was kind of funny. About a few months before I left on this trip, I'm watching TV, and I'm just kind of just going through the stations. And there's only a couple stations I look at. I look at History Channel, and there was a show for Dual Survivor, which I've never really seen, but I pushed info on it, and it says that they're going to learn how to survive in the country of Laos. I'm like, that's crazy. That's unbelievable. So again, I watched it. I should have paid more attention. You know, once I got there and we're just kind of going throughout our days and going through this trek, I'm like, I wish I would have listened. And 3 weeks before leaving, the missionary who, again, who's going to be the speaker on that thing for April 20th. And I will just tell you what, you want to be there. But he emails me and says, hey, I just want you to know why you haven't heard from me in the last few weeks. I'm like, that'd be nice. And he says to me, he's like, I was in the northern part of Laos, which is where we've been doing a lot of ministry, where we were planning on going to do some ministry. And while he was on these treks, he got detained and he got arrested. And because the government had word that he was going village to village telling people about Jesus, which is what we were going to do. And so the police came in with AK-47s in the middle of night and marched him and the other couple people that were with him through the wilderness in the dark with no flashlights. When they were exhausted and tired, they'd fall to the ground. They would ask the guys, can we please just take a break? And they said, no, the government has told us that we have to bring you in and we have to bring you in now. And so they get detained, and for the next 2 weeks, they get interrogated. And at that point, they finally get released because they couldn't find anything on him. He says to me, he's like, I had a Bible. They just never found it. Thank the Lord. And so the night before, I get ready to leave. It's the eve before. It's a Sunday morning. I'm still here in Cold Spring. And I wake up in the morning, and I got this cool app on my phone, and it's called Laos News. And so I can go into it, and I can look, and I can just immediately find the information, the things that are happening in Laos. And this article pulls up, U.S. probes 3 Minnesotan residents missing in Laos. Now, what a great welcome right before you leave on a trip. Minnesotans are missing? What are they doing over there? Why am I going over there? Minnesotans, like, and I look up at God, and I'm like, really? Really? And so I sent it over to Denny, and I sent it over to Ordine and Kirby and a couple of people from my staff. And then I sent it to Amber's sister, and I don't send it to Amber because she would freak out. And I'm like, hey, may want to pray over this. May want to just pray because we're leaving, like, tomorrow. And but I come here at church, and I did the mistake of telling the rest of my team about that amazing app. You know, and so they're like sitting right behind me. I'm sitting there and they're bumping me and they're like, Adam, you know, really, this is where we're going? I'm like, yeah, it's okay. We're going to be okay. And but I bumped Denny and because he's starting a brand new series. Again, this is last month. He's starting a brand new series called I Refuse. And what was his very first message? I refuse to fear. And so I'm sitting right there and I bump him and I'm like, this is for me if it's not for anybody else. So thanks. Thanks for this message. I refuse to fear. You know, when stuff like this happens to my life, it does 2 things. One, it excites my prayer life. My prayer life goes like crazy. You know, I love watching the news. Some people say, I don't like watching the news because I just get so down and discouraged. But I love watching the news. I'll watch things about things that are happening in North Korea right now. And that doesn't discourage me, but it excites me to pray. It calls me to pray because, you know, when I pray, I know that my prayer has moves mountains. And I know when I pray that literally the hand of God is moving in heaven. And that's not just for me as a pastor. That's for every single one of us who loves Jesus. Man, we need to be called to pray. Number 2, it also does it. It lets me know I'm on track. When I'm going through trials and tribulations, when I'm going through seasons of things that would want to like freak me out, dude, it lets me know that I'm on track. And why do I say that? Because God says that you will experience these things. John 16:33 out of the Amplified, it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. And in the world, you will have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. I think I put a check mark in each one of those. But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain and undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and the power for it to have conquered over you. And I got on a plane and I have that verse. And I show that to the team. And I'm saying, God is with us. He put this on our heart to do this 6 months to a year ago. And this is where we're going to go. So a little bit of a background of Laos. It is a communist country. Persecution is at the highest it's ever been. There's actually a news article that came out that same day that other one did that I got to pull up. And it said persecution is at its absolute highest in Laos. And it's against two groups, minorities and people of different religions. Strike two, you know, because there's only one religion there, or it's two religions there. There's Buddhism or there's atheism, and that's it. And any of the churches there, they're underground. You can't have a church in the open, because if you did, if anyone found out you were a Christian, you would get persecuted. You would get captured, or worse yet, you know, things could happen to you that would really hurt. So on the airplane, I'm flying overseas, you know, you got a 12, 13-hour flight. So I pull out my Bible, and this is the next thing that I was reading in the Bible. Paul is writing a letter to the followers, and he says this, "I know you had trials while in Asia." Wasn't the most uplifting verse as I was on the plane on my way to Asia. And needless to say, God grabbed my attention again, and my prayer life again began to heighten. You know what? All of us experience fear in some way or another. Just in our daily life, we experience seasons or moments of fear. You know, there is a theme just kind of just of the unknown while we were there. And one of the students, again, I had seven students with me. And one of them, we'll just say his name is Mitchell, you know. And, dude, they don't know it's you. All right, yeah, they do know it's you. Okay. And so I'm with them. And we're just kind of like sightseeing this day. We just got done praying over some Buddhist, like, temples in some areas. And so we went on this dock that was in front of this huge, big, murky lake. And we walk out on the dock, and then all of a sudden, this ginormous turtle, like, pulls up. And it's a huge turtle. And so Mitchell goes, and he's like, "Adam, I am deathly afraid of turtles. I am just so freaked out of turtles." And I'm like, "Are you kidding me? We're in the middle of Laos in a communist country, and you're telling me you're scared of turtles? Turtles? I'm going to buy my son a pet turtle tomorrow." And he's like, "Yeah, I just get freaked out." He's like, "You just have no idea when they're going to come out of the water and just grab you." I'm like, "What, are they like kangaroo turtles? They're in the water. But let's go feed one, you know." And, you know, I had another experience where we were going through the jungle, and a couple of the guides came over to us and said, "Hey, up ahead, just want to let you guys know there's a whole bunch of monkeys up ahead." And I have two girls that go to me, and they're just like, "Adam, we are petrified of monkeys. We are so scared of monkeys." And they're like, "How big are these monkeys?" I'm like, "I don't know. They're really little. You ever seen the movie Outbreak? Really nice, you know? Nice little monkeys." And they're little cute monkeys. And then sure enough, we walk up this like path, and hundreds of monkeys invade us and swarm us. And they're just wanting to eat food, you know. And so I'm literally putting food right here, and they're taking it from my hand. And then you get like a crazy idea, you know, like those crazy moments, like, I wish I could take back. I'm like, "I wonder if I could pet one, you know?" And so I go over there, I'm like, "Hey there, buddy." And it just hisses like crazy. And then I just like, okay, you know, I've learned my bounds. This is not Wild Animal Park, you know. And it was good. And then there was another circumstance where we came across a bridge. And throughout this whole trip, I'm thinking like Indiana Jones. You know, I'm like, had the theme music playing in my head all the time. And if you've ever seen the end of Indiana Jones of the Temple of Doom, like that huge bridge that they have to go across at the very end of the movie, and there's all these alligators in the bottom that are going to like eat the people. It was nothing like that bad, but that's what I thought in my head, you know. And so one of my students, again, we'll call him Mitchell, he goes, he's like, "Adam, I am so freaked out about this bridge." And I'm like, "Why?" He's like, "Have you seen it? It's like termites holding hands as we cross this thing." And so again, I'm like, "Come on, it's going to be okay, you know." So we cross this bridge. I mean, you grab some of the railings and they fall right off. OSHA would have freaked out. They would have had a big problem with this thing. Again, we simply fear what we do not know. We fear what we don't understand or what we don't know. I had breakfast with this youth pastor while we were there. And we're sitting out in the open. We're just having morning breakfast, myself and the team and this pastor. And him and I are just sitting next to each other. We're just sharing stories. I'm showing him pictures of my family. These are my kids. And I'm just sharing him my story. Then he starts sharing me his story about his wife and kids. And then, you know, as we were just having fun, just kind of just laughing a little bit, you know, he's asking me about Minnesota. He actually said I always wanted to go to Minnesota. I'm like, really? I'm like, why do you even know where it is? And he was just excited about hearing about snow. But then all of a sudden the conversation changed and his facial expressions and his demeanor totally changed. And his lips just started to quiver as he was getting ready to ask me this question. And his lip just starts to quiver. He looks at me and just says, would you speak, Pastor, at my church? Would you speak at my church? And someone asked me that here in the States. I'm like, okay, yeah, great. But someone over there is a huge, that's a big, big difference. To speak over there, if I was to speak in his church, and if the government were to find out that I were a foreigner were to speak in this church, they would have killed this man. They would have shut down this church. And so this man, this youth pastor, to say this question to me, just unbelievable, unshaken faith. I will tell you, this is the trip that I've always wanted to go on. I've always wanted to do a missions trip like this. I wanted to go where no one is going, because I will tell you, there's not that many people going to Laos. And again, it wasn't like I was preaching any great big sermons or doing anything super spectacular. All we were doing is like what Paul says in the Bible. We were sharing our lives with the people. That we would go village to village and we would just spend time with the people. We'd play soccer. We'd get to know the headmaster of the village. Again, these places are out in the jungle. Deep, deep in the jungle, away from civilization. But we got to just share life with the people there. And while we were out there, I tell you what, I love reaching people. It's the same thing what God has called us to do, no matter where we are in life, is to love on people, because it's truly what God's heart breaks for. It's one another. And what we trekked in the jungle this one day for 60 miles. And we knew it was going to be a long day. We thought it was going to be like a 10-hour day. But we had one huge problem that day. We experienced something horribly and unexpectedly wrong. And that was, we trekked 60 miles in a day. And that it was 102 degrees outside, and that our guides were most definitely and most assuredly lost. And so we're going through this jungle, and we would go up this huge, huge, huge hill. And when I say hill, I mean mountain. And we go up this mountain, and I would go up this mountain, and I would have everything I have inside of me to get up this mountain. I will tell you what, this trip was the most strenuous on my body that I've ever experienced in all of my life. Like, even in my best physical shape, I would not be able to do this trip that well. And so I'm going up this huge mountain, and all I can think of is, oh my goodness, this sooner or later we'll get up to the top. And we got to the top, and literally my body, I just collapsed. And I said, thank you, Jesus, for tops of mountains. You know, because it's only down from here or forward. And then we go about another half hour, and then our guides stop, and then they take a look around. I'm like, okay, sightseeing. I can just take a break and breathe again and feel what it's like to have oxygen in my body. And then all of a sudden, the guides are talking to each other in the Lao language, and I could tell it's probably not that great. And then the translator goes over to us and says, we went the wrong way. We're going the wrong way. And so we go back the whole half hour, and then we go all the way down this mountain. And I got so frustrated. I wanted to like pick up a rock and like, I don't know what I wanted to do. I just wanted to do something because I was so angry. And I'm like, all right, keep calm, carry on, you know, keep calm, carry on, keep calm and carry on. And there were all the time throughout this trip, there was moments of false hope. You know, because we'd have to do things to entertain one another. And because you just get so tired. And so, you know, the missionary would go to us and just say, hey, any of you guys want some Gatorade? And I'd be like, I want some Gatorade. I love Gatorade. And the whole team would be like, I'm killing for some Gatorade. And then he'd go, yeah, me too. He's a great guy, I tell you what. And I rationalized something in my head that I thought, again, was a good idea. My backpack felt very heavy because it was full of water. So I thought, I'll drink all the water because then it won't be that heavy and I'll feel refreshed. That was one of the dumbest things I've ever done because now I have no water. And I needed that later, I think. And then it came a point where we got really lost. Again, there was 7 students and myself, and I had 2 guides and a missionary. We're going through the jungle, and again, finally, it's getting towards dusk. We've been trekking through the jungle all night. At one point, they asked, Adam, how are you doing? And I'm like, you ever been inside of a microwave? Because I feel like I'm boiling on the inside, and because it is just so hot. And so we're going through the jungle, and finally, the missionary says, all right, we need to kind of stay together because it's getting really dark, and if you go out just a little bit, you're going to get lost. I'm like, yes, that's probably a good idea. Well, then finally, the guide says, all right, I know where we are. It's about 2 or 3 kilometers left. Just keep on going that way, 2 or 3 more kilometers, and we're there. And I'm trying to do the math in my head. I'm like, 2 kilometers, is that like 10 miles? No, it's less than that. It's 1 mile. Okay. I'm like, we can do this. So immediately that advice of staying together kind of got missed. And because once you get close to a goal, you kind of like speed up. And so 5 of the team members and one of the guides kept on going that way a little bit faster. And I'm all by myself, and I kind of had like this limp this whole time. And now I kind of go a little bit faster. And I'm like, okay, I'm almost there, I'm almost there. And my last 2 students are in the back. And after 2 hours of doing that little jog, that little walk, after that guide said that, I realized that he might have been wrong. And in saying 2 or 3 kilometers, because we've been going 2 more hours, and now it's pitch dark. And now I hear in a distance 2 of my students yelling, help, help, help. And so I have to stop because I'm way far ahead of them. And then I have to run up over to the other students and say, hey, there's something wrong. We need to stop because someone's in trouble. And so the guide runs back there and finds out that one of the students just absolutely, their body just gave out and collapsed. I mean, just their legs, every part of their body just fell apart. And so he told the guide, he says, all right, I want you to run that direction where we think the village is, and I don't want you to stop until you find a village because we need help. And so this guide ended up running 3 hours straight, 20 miles in the darkness without any type of flashlight whatsoever. And so the 5 of us, I'm with 5 more students, I'm with the 5 students, we're all by ourselves, and we go. What I thought what we were doing is going with another guide. And so we were walking with a guide for like another 2 hours. And again, we don't have any supplies at all, because why would you bring supplies? And but I do have my iPhone because there's apps, you know. And so I got a flashlight app. And so this is the only thing I have for a flashlight, you know. And so we're going through the jungle, and the students are up in front. I'm thinking about what's happening back here. And then finally, after an hour, I go to Mitchell, and I'm like, is there anybody, like, where's the guide? Like, is he up there somewhere? They're like, oh, no, Adam, he left a long time ago. He's way gone. And I'm like, are we just the blind leading the blind? We're all by ourselves. This keeps on going in the jungle? What are you thinking? And so I'm like, we got to stop, you know. And we had to stop. And so we walked for 5 more minutes and just said, hey, if we find the village, you know, then we'll stay there. If not, we got to stop here in the jungle. And again, we have no supplies. So we're in the jungle. I said, all right, this is a great spot for camp, and let's just set up camp, and let's figure out what we do have. Well, we have about this much water. Awesome. So what did we do? Well, I'll tell you what. We prayed a lot. We just began just to pray. And then after that, we started just to sing worship songs. And I tell you what, it was one of the best worship services I've ever been a part of. Just to be completely, utterly alone in the jungle of a communist country in the middle of Laos and not have any idea where you are and just worship and just worship. What also did we do? You know, we learned to laugh. You know, we said jokes to one another. And so I'm there and I'm thinking it's my survival skills that I have none because I didn't do Boy Scouts or I didn't like camping or anything like that. So I'm like, well, I got to build a fire. We have no matches. And so I'm grabbing 2 sticks. I'm going like this, thinking something's going to just magically go, you know, and I got a fire. And I tell Mitchell, I'm like, hey, go find some rocks. And he's like, by myself? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I need to build a fire. There's just girls here. He's like, can I just bring somebody? I'm like, no, go get me some rocks. And he's like, Adam, I'm really freaking out. I don't want to go. I'm like, okay. And a couple of my other students, a couple of my other girls like, Adam, we are so scared right now. I'm like, guys, I'll get this fire going. And so, again, we didn't have anything in our bags that was useful, but I did have, you know, because you need to bring this, I had my iPad, and because any survivalist knows you bring that in the jungle. And so I'm like, here, kids, watch some movies. And we watched movies together. they're all kids movies because I have a four-year-old. And so we watched a whole, like, three or four different movies at night, and they started to fall asleep. And then one of them woke up in the middle of the night and said, "Adam, weren't you supposed to build a fire?" And I'm like, "Yep, yeah, I was." And then I went back to it. I'm like, "If I get this thing lit, I'll tell you what, I'm going to light you up." You know, and so never got that fire lit. But it came a moment in the jungle, the students were asleep. And I'm just sitting there. And I'm like, "How are we going to get out of here? I mean, how are we going to get out of here? I don't know what I'm doing." But I do know this. I'm looking outside in the jungle, and there's this little bit of opening where I can see the sky and where I can see the stars. And if people know me really well, some of the things I love to do is I love just to, you know, just have worship times and have quiet times just out in the woods or just out where the stars are. Because when I see stars, I'm reminded of just how great and how big God is. The Bible says that he literally puts the entire universe in the palm of his hands, that he can hold it, that God is that big. And so I'm looking at these stars. I'm like, "God, these are the same stars that I see back home. And you are that big. So you can get us out of the jungle." And I just believed in faith. That there is this crazy faith that just started just to well up inside of me, saying, "You know what? I got this under control. You're under my cover and you're under my care." And so it, you know, later happened, you know, about 3 or 4 in the morning, a tractor came and pulled up, and the guy who ran, you know, that many hours to go get some help, finally got a villager, and they brought a tractor to us. And this guy, he just started just bawling. He's like, thank God that we found you." I'm like, "Okay, we're fine. Just go get them. We got an iPad. We're going to watch a couple more movies, and you come back and go get us." And so we got out. I'll tell you this. This is a premise that I'm going to go off for today. God will use our circumstances to grow our capacity. He'll use your circumstances, your stress. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's fear of health. Maybe it's your well-being. Maybe it's financial struggles. Maybe it's relational issues. Maybe it's family struggles. He will use your circumstances to grow your capacity, to grow your trust, and to grow your faith in him. And we can react to negative situations in one of two ways. One, it can make us lean away from God, or it can make us lean towards him. And I think more often than not that when I'm in circumstances like this and around other people, it makes me lean towards God. Because you begin to realize the inadequacies that we all have. You begin to realize that, you know what, I can't heal myself. I begin to realize that, you know what, I can't fix the financial struggles or the problems that I'm in. I realize that, you know what, my family issues are too big and I can't wrap my head or my arms around it. And so perhaps maybe in desperation, you start to lean towards faith in God. I have a story that I was going to share. And if you're looking at the YouVersion notes, you're going to get some extra credit because I'm not going to have enough time to go over it. But I will say this. I'm going to have the worship team just come up. If you remember anything, remember this. God will leverage any circumstance, any situation, to build up your faith and belief in him if you allow him to. God will leverage any circumstance, any situation to build our faith and belief if we allow him to. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that in all things God works for the glory of good for those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." The same pain that builds belief also can destroy belief, so you have to choose. Are you going to lean in towards God or are you going to lean away? Are you going to run to Jesus or are you going to stay where you're at? To close this morning, the question I really have is, do you feel lost? Maybe not lost in a jungle, hopefully not, but maybe just a little bit lost in life. You're a little confused, a little disoriented, worried, fear, doubt, situations, whatever it may be. And you just feel that, man, the situation is just too overwhelming. It's too much to bear. Ever been there? Perhaps you're in a hard situation. Should I run away or should I run towards God? So what's the difference maker? This makes all the difference in the world. Just three quick points. Number one, the people you surround yourself with. People. You know, I will tell you what, I love this church. I absolutely love being a part of this church. I take great pride of being a part of this church, not because the speakers are great or the worship is great, but because of the people that are in this room. There is this a genuine love for relationships that's saying, hey, let us grow to God together. That I can come to this church and say, you know what? I don't have to do life on my own. I don't have to raise my kids on my own. That there's people around me that are going to pray for me and build me up. It's why we have life groups. It's why we have these life groups on Wednesday night that we can now grow together. Let's get in the Bible and say, hey, what does it really say? What is God teaching you? This is what God is teaching me. Let's build each other up. The difference maker is always going to be the journey who you bring with. What's a difference maker? Again, it's going to be perspective. Realize that God is far bigger than your biggest problem. God is far bigger than your biggest problem. It's so important to get into the Word of God and to see what it says about your life. That it is so amazing just to be reminded that even when I was in this country, a lot of the students, when we were lost in the jungle, they started just flipping open their Bibles. Isn't that awesome? You know, the one thing we did have is we at least had our Bibles. And we'd open our Bibles and say, what does God say about the situation we're in? Well, Psalm 91 says that I rest under the shadow of the Almighty. How God is ever so near and present, and even in my deepest, darkest need. God gives me a fresh perspective. And lastly, purpose. Choose daily to give Him control. Choose daily to give Him control. And this is a hard one. Trust never comes easy. You know, even when we were lost, we looked at the brighter side of the situation because the two guides that we were with didn't know God at all. And so the missionary, and I just loved being around this guy because every time I got to hear him, my faith just rised up because he would tell me stories. And that's why I'm so excited that he's coming. But again, these two guides, we got to share, have more time to share the love of God to them and who God was. And that how God saved them, how God wants to forgive them of their sins and give them this new, amazing life. What an awesome opportunity that we had, even though it wasn't like I thought it would be. The hardest thing ever to do is trust. What's another word for trust? Have faith. What's another word for faith? Believe. And God is echoing this word throughout all eternity to you and to your heart. Trust in me. Trust in me. Last verse I want to share is this Psalm 37, 4 and 5. And if you give me a little bit of liberty just to combine these two verses, but Psalm 37, 5 says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. What will he do? Well, Psalm 37, 4 says, he will give you the desires of your heart. So this verse is saying, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But you have to trust in him. Trust. Trust in him and he will help you. So keep calm and carry on. I'm going to have you guys just stand. And as we close this morning, wherever you're at, whatever season of life you're at, maybe you're at one of those freak out moments, those moments of uncertainty, the moments of fear, moments of doubt and concern, whatever it may be. You know, the verse I was going to share is John 11:35, and it's the shortest verse in the Bible, and it says, Jesus wept. He cried because he is a God who feels with you. He knows the condition of your heart and he knows everything about you. And what an amazing God that we serve, that he isn't just some God high up in the heavens, but he is a God who feels with us. He is a God who is broken for us. He is a God who yearns for our affection. What an amazing, wonderful God that we serve, that no matter what season of life I'm in, I know that God is with me even until the end of age. So without anyone looking around, if you say, Pastor, please just pray for me this week. Got some things going on that causing me to stress, causing me to worry. To keep calm is a very hard thing right now in my life. Maybe financial struggles, maybe family issues, whatever it may be. If you're in this room and you say, you know what, Pastor, I just need prayer. I just want you just to raise your hand without anyone looking around. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A lot of us in that spot. A lot of us in that spot. One last question. Maybe you're here today and you never really, even what that verse is saying, commit your heart wholly to God. You never made him Lord and Savior of your life. You never accepted him into your heart. God wants to do something amazing in your life this morning. I believe that with everything inside. That this April 7th, 2013 could be the best day of your life. The greatest decision you'll ever make. And you say this morning, I want to accept Jesus into my heart. I want to live my life for him. If that's you, without anyone looking around, I just want you to raise your hand and I'm just going to be praying for you this week. Anyone in the house this morning, you want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of your life. Just want you to raise your hand. All right. Let's pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much. God, I thank you so much that you are the God that hears and you are the God that listens to us. God, you are the one that knows maybe the situations that we're in. But God, even in those moments, God, we praise you. God, we thank you. Because you are the God who sees us. You are the God who even cries for us. You are the God who feels with us, not just bad for us. And so, God, I just pray just all over this room. May your Holy Spirit just give them faith. Give them strength. Give them peace in their dire need. Because, God, you are faithful and you are good. May they realize that they are not alone, that there's people around them to build them up and encourage them. God, we thank you so much for the family of God. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to River of Life Assembly of God in Cold Spring, Minnesota. If you have any questions about what you just heard or would like more information about how to become a Christian, just email Denny at riveroflifeag.org. That's D-E-N-N-Y at riveroflifeag.org.